Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Word that has already gone forth from your servants. Father, we receive it. We need to pay attention to what the Spirit says to the church. I thank you. You put it on their heart to give us that good Word. And we receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. Well, I'm going to share a story about what happened to me. But I went to I think it was a Lowe's or something. You know, it wasn't a Home Depot at that time. It was a Lowe's. And I was in there shopping for something. I can't remember what it was. And so as I was exiting the store, you know how outside these, all these double doors and everything, there was a stand there where they were selling coffee and hot dogs and, you know, pastries and stuff. And so I just glanced at the thing. But before I went out the doors, I heard somebody say, "Hi, Pastor Jan." And so I stopped. And I turned around, and the lady that was behind that concession stand said, "Hi, do you remember me?" And I says, "Kinda yeah and kinda no. How should I remember you?" And she said, "Well, we attended your church out on 84th and Sprague when you first started." I said, "Oh, really?" And I wanted to say, "Why aren't you attending now?" But I decided to leave that one alone, you know. And she says, "You're probably wondering what happened to us." And I didn't say, "No, I haven't been." I said, "What happened?" And she said something quite interesting to me. She said, "Well, a lot of things have happened that has pulled me out of church." And I says, "Oh, what kind of things?" And she said, "Well, my husband and I are separated now. And she says, I haven't been attending church, and I know that I should." And I said, "Well, what happened to you and your husband?" And she said, "Well, he's out on the street." And I says, "On the street?" She says, "Well, I just want to share with you, when we first started coming to your church, he was on fire for God. Matter of fact, he started listening to your tapes, so much so he could almost quote your sermons." And I says, "Really?" And she says, "Yes, he was on fire." And she says, "I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, fear came over him of failing before the Lord." And I was just listening, and I thought, fear for failing before the Lord, so he went onto the streets. And so she said, "And so therefore he gave up all hope and ended up on the street." And I thought that was strange. And I says, "Well, I'll tell you what, you're sure welcome back to church. And we'd love to have you attend and be a part of the body of Christ." And she said, "I've tried, but it just seems like the more I try, the worse things get." And I said, "Well, then your husband, is he pretty well firm where he's at?" "Oh, yeah, he's pretty firm where he's at. He's on the street." And I says, "Well, do you think that he still has thoughts towards God?" "Oh, I think he does, but he has fear for failing." And so then we said our blessings to each other, and I left, and I got to thinking, how sad to really be a part of the body of Christ, and all of a sudden, you're all looking at me like, "Why don't we go back to praise and worship?" and I was thinking about the glory that it is in the presence of God. Just like this morning, you know, how we're in the presence of God and how we encourage and enlighten each other and being a part. We hear from God. We hear a word from God because these ministers that came up and shared, they were speaking from God. And just think, if we weren't here, we wouldn't have received that. And I'm always thinking about those who have once been in church and then have gotten out of church. It grieves my heart. I was listening to the news the other night. Somebody said, "Do you listen to that?" Well, sometimes I do. And they were talking about the homeless and how it was at an epidemic. They just didn't know what to do with the homeless. And they started showing some pictures of the encampments of the homeless. And then they started showing about the cleanup after some of the cities that they had to evacuate and they had to clean up afterwards. People that were using bulldozers to remove the garbage. The filth. And living in tents and not bathing. And it was just like I got a glimpse. That's living like an animal. That is not normal. And the filth that they leave and the uncommitment to their life and the drugs, the needles that are left on the ground. It's sad. And did you know that our state, matter of fact, the world doesn't know what to do about the situation that it's in. They don't know what to do with the homeless. So then they go after those who are living right, making money, and putting a demand on them to meet a financial need for the homeless. People, that is not the answer. And where did all this begin? Well, it began with the shortness of time. And I believe we're close to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you realize it or not. And somebody told me, "Well, what makes you think we're so close?" And I says, "Well, I put my eyes on the church." You put your eyes on the church? Yeah. I don't put my eyes on the world. They're doing what they would normally do. But I put my eyes on the church because the church is supposed to be the salt of the earth. And they said that once that salt has lost its savor, then what good is it? And I'm of the opinion, and that's just my opinion. And you know what I think about my opinion? It's mine. I'm of the opinion that things are going to get so bad that we're not going to see the reaping of a large harvest like we think we're going to get, but we're going to see a deficit. There will be more, less coming in than it used to be. John was telling me how things have changed drastically since the 50s and the 40s and 50s and 60s. How things are changing so rapidly that there's not a commitment to God that used to be. And now you're being labeled for being too good. And now you're being labeled as having a religious spirit. Well, I'll tell you what, we don't have a religious spirit in this church. But we do have a spirit that's after God in this church. Amen. And one thing that God wants us to do is He wants us to get a hold of ourselves and begin to really appreciate what He has done for us so that we can get a grip on ourselves and be what we need to be for a world that is crumbling very fast. People, I don't know about you, but things are really digressing quickly. Even to the point that our own government doesn't know how to deal with what's happening to people. So what do? Walk around in a spirit of fear? What we do is we do not come to the conclusion that we could fail in God and then digress. What we do is we get on fire and press into God and start praying more and be dedicated to what it is really all about. And that is the salvation of souls. Now, the thing that really got me is that we had some of them camping outside our facility, and Jerry Haywood went to talk to this one person. Well, you can't pitch your tent there at our gate. You know, it doesn't look good. Because we know that when we get one and we accept it, the others will follow. You know, and so Jerry started preaching to her, and she's a ex-Christian. She used to be in the house of God. She knew the Lord at one. How many of these homeless people do you think were believers? What happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. What happened was they did not develop spiritually. And spiritual development is very serious. It's very important. Why? Because the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity. The Bible says that. And God came to do something for all of us. He came to put a new spirit within us so that He could write the Word of God on the tablets of our heart. And that comes through our spirit. Now, the thing that really bothers me is no men take it to heart. Why, the good die young. And I got news for you. You and I, we need to get a revelation of what we've inherited in Christ to make us able ministers of the gospel to bring people into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Not only the unsaved, but also those who are teetering. We're to have the love of God for them and to recover them from where they're slipping and falling by the wayside. They begin to entertain these thoughts that are not of God. But how a person thinks is the greatest virtue that God ever gave to mankind. He gave man identity. He gave him a soul. He gave him awareness. He gave him life. And along with it, He gave him freedom of choice. How do I know that? Because Adam and Eve took the fall. And God didn't stop them. Why didn't He stop them? Because when God gave this world that He worked with His hands to Adam and Eve, it belonged to Adam and Eve. And the devil ever since has been convincing the church that God is in control of this world. He's the owner of the cattle on a thousand hill. He's in charge of everything, or it wouldn't be the way it is. And I like what one man said. He said, if God's in charge of everything, He sure got everything in a mess. It's because God is not in charge of this world. Satan is in charge of this world. He's the God of this world, and He's the one that is putting the wrong thoughts and the wrong meditation into the minds of men so that they would miss the mark with God. And I got news for you. Lucifer is the god of this world. And you know when his time is up? You can read it in the book. Revelation chapter 12. God says, Satan, your time over this world is now up. And it says, Michael and his angels war against Satan and his angels, and it casts him out of the outer atmosphere. Not the third heaven, the outer atmosphere to the earth. And he says, woe unto the inhabitants now, for he has come down to you. That's when his lease is up. But in the meantime, he's in charge of everything that goes on here. The only one that does not have to bow down to him is those who receive the redemptive work of Christ. They now have a position above him. Now you and I have the ability to take control of the way we think and to be what God tells us that we are. Did you know that? If you're a child of God, you know what God has declared you? He's declared you His child. He's declared in the mind of God, He's declared that you are a righteous being or you wouldn't be His child. But I don't do righteous. That's your problem. God took care of His problem. He had to declare you righteous. Now you're responsible for doing righteous. Woo! Glory to God. But you know why some Christians, you don't see them progressing, you don't see them moving on with God? I'll tell you why. Well, the devil's deceived them. They simply don't have a real desire to go very far with God. Period. Over and out. They don't know how to possess their vessels and take control of it. And yet God done what He needed to do more than anything else, and that is to prepare you spiritually to take control of what you are physically. We're in a real tough spot right now. Because not only do we have to deal with where we're at, but we also have the witness of the modern church being in a state of complacency with God. You're not even seeing the gifts of the Spirit move in the body of Christ like they should be. Why is that? We have wonderful orators, but not much of the power of God flowing unless you get into a third world country and you get people like Reinhard Bonnke moving in the power of God, raising the dead, healing the sick, just like T.L. Osborne, wherever he went. He had legs growing out of people, arms growing out of people. What happened to the modern church? Well, we're so freed up that we have a right to burn a flag if we don't get our way. Well, what are you going to do with the Word of God? I'm going to tell you something. When we talk, when the Bible says election, I want you to get a hold of this. Election means how somebody is elected. Our translators use that word election. How many of you know we got an election coming? Did you get your ballot in the mail? Yeah. Well, did you know that natural man, he has an election. What? You get to choose who you want to serve you. You do. When I look at my balance, it doesn't have just one party on it. It has a couple parties. You get to choose anyone you want. So when you see election, you don't think this is the way God has elected some to be saved and elected some not to be saved. Because after all, God's in charge of this world. Oh, is He? I don't think so. He's in charge of the people who give their heart to Him. That's who He's in charge of. He didn't bring you into the world so that eventually all the desires that you had from this world, He's going to see to it you get them now. No, He's going to do something about the desires you had from this world. He's going to get rid of them and He's going to put His desires in you. When He comes into your heart and life, people, it comes for change. I'm going to tell you, that woman right there, she wouldn't be married to me today if I hadn't had changed. Because she can tell you what I was like before I got saved. Right, Sue? It's like she don't even want to remember that guy. I'm going to tell you something. Believers who hook up with unbelievers, the first thing you've done is you've violated the Word of God. When you hook up with unbelievers, you're demoting yourself from the position that God has declared to go under the authority of another mate that is not even connected to God. I'll tell you what's happened almost 100% of the time with me, marrying people, they're divorced. They're gone. Why is that? Well, somebody doesn't know how to take control of their thinking. Did you know that if you have the thoughts of God in you, do you know that the Bible says you'll succeed? If you don't have the thoughts of God in you, you will not succeed. And I don't even need a revelation or a prophecy for that. My Bible tells me if you listen to your thinking process, you can get into trouble. You got to have this Bible right here, this GPS working in your heart and life. I know what it's like to get out in the wilderness and get lost and to have a GPS on your behalf. Bob and I both experienced it. Remember when we got lost? Well, this one brother who was with us says, we don't need that. And Bob was trying to tell him that we already got our reading, our coordinates, and we just need to follow them. He says, we don't need that. I know how to get out of here. And so Bob and I said, okay, well, he knows what he's doing. And he led us over hill and over dale. He led us over river and falls. He led us here and he led us there. And he led us everywhere. And finally, Bob says, do you suppose we ought to go by our reading? And he says, well, if you insist, remember that? And Bob says, when he said, if you insist, Bob looked at him like, what else have I got? And so we went by that coordinates, and guess where Bob and I came out of? Bob, tell him. We came right out to the truck. And he goes, Well, that's like your Bible. We got a bunch of believers running around wondering why they have so much problems with the devil, the flesh, and themselves. And you tell them, well, use the GPS. It'll work for you. Yeah, I tried that, but it just don't work. Why did the Lord give us the Bible? Why did He preserve it for us? So we would read it and go by it. Hello. Ida, you think you're so righteous, you're always perfect. I love her. She's a blessing. I want to share something with you that needs to be settled before I shut up here. I want you to go over to Romans chapter 8. I want to show you something that's so important about spiritual issues in our life. They're very important. You know, these apostles, when they establish the word, they establish it once for all. You can't add anything to the word of God, and you can't take it away. I've had brothers and sisters tell me they got new insight from the Bible. And I said, well, you keep that new insight to yourself. I'm not interested. Because my Bible says we're not to add anything to it or take away. It is sufficient. What God has preserved for it is sufficient. We don't have to have another Bible. And he says over here in Romans chapter 8, which is very, very interesting, because the first verses he deals with the subject of two minds working in a person. You have what you call the mind of the flesh, and you have what you call the mind of the spirit. Now, before you got born again, you only knew one mind, and that was the mind of the flesh. Because your spiritual mind had no identity of its own. Now I want to tell you something about your soul. I want you to get a hold of this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23 it says, I pray God that your whole spirit, soul and body would be preserved blameless. Actually it would have been better to word that verse this way. That the spirit, the understanding of the spirit and the soul and the body would remain intact unto the coming of the Lord. Which literally what he was saying is that the body of Christ has to have a revelation of how a person is made up. You have a body, and within the body you have a soul. And within the soul, you have a spirit. Now, what gets confusing to people is they don't know where the spirit comes in from the soul and the body. The soul, is the soul housed in your physical man, or is the soul housed in your eternal being? Answer me. Let me tell you something. When you drop dead, when your physical body drops to the ground, what happens to your soul? Does it cease to exist? You believe in life after death, amen? You know, have you ever noticed animals? The Bible doesn't clarify whether an animal has a spirit or not, but we know that it has a soul. Or you wouldn't have a fellowship with them little animals. But we don't know whether it has a spirit or not. We know animals are in heaven. They must have a spirit body if they're in heaven, amen. But there's nothing really saying about the animals that are here being there. There's nothing the Bible covers on that issue. Now, why did the Bible not cover that issue, but covered the issue of how man is made up? Because you are an eternal being. And in order for you to live eternally, you have to have a soul that goes with the spirit. Why? Because the soul is an eternal thing. But while you're in this physical body, presently in it, your soul has to occupy the physical brain. Because that's how it communicates to this realm. But when you slide out of your body, you quit communicating with this realm. Why? Because your physical brain, to the ground. The soul will be with you forever because it's an eternal thing. Just like your spirit, it's an eternal thing. So where does the soul really house itself? It houses itself in the spirit man that you are. That's where your soul is found, in your spirit. But the only thing that is bridging the gap between your spiritual mind and your carnal mind is the physical body, the mind of the senses, the physical brain. Are you following what I'm saying? And this is the realm that Satan comes through. He comes through the sensual mind and he tries to speak against the knowledge of God that can have an effect on your spiritual mind to give it its identity. We were in Sunday school this morning and we were talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, about the term reasoning. And a lot of people don't understand that particular verse. And those of us in the Sunday school, we picked it up because we communicated with each other. We discovered what it really meant. But the word reasoning there, matter of fact, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll close in just a minute. I want to establish something here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. What am I trying to say? Well, I'll bring all these loose ends together in just a minute. Paul is talking about having a strategy for warfare. Did you know that the homeless, the backslid believer, the unbeliever, if they don't know how to strategize in their ability to think properly, they have no defense. Whatever comes to mind, that's what they'll be. That's why it says that when a man looks in to the water, he will reflect face to face. He will see his image in water. That's what it says in Proverbs. Face to face. And he says, what he sees is what he is. So if I only see anything from a natural plane, and I look into a mirror, that's all I'm going to see is what I am naturally. But if God gives me spiritual identity, and then I look into the mirror, then I don't see just what I see on the surface. I see what God says that I am behind that face. How many of you saw that picture? I thought it was so unique. It showed a guy looking into a mirror and saw a lion. And he was looking at his own face, but he saw a lion. He was seeing Christ in him, the hope of glory. And see, the world has no way of defending itself against what he sees himself to be, because his own self-image cannot do anything for the kingdom of God, can't accomplish anything for the kingdom of God, can't even bear fruit for the kingdom of God in the natural. If that was the case, then the religious man has an advantage. Now, the thing about the mind, according to 2 Corinthians chapter, the thing about the mind is you've got to understand that Paul said, this is how we do warfare. This is how we're going to strategize to do warfare. And he made it very clear that the strategy of our warfare has to deal with reasonings. Now, I'm not talking about the reasonings of the five senses. I'm talking about the reasonings that speak against the knowledge of God. And I've seen people pervert scripture by reasoning against what the scripture says. Be careful of them faith teachers. Be careful of them faith preachers. Shows you right there, this guy has got a reasoning going. And whenever the reasoning mentioned in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10, that reasoning is out a knowledge that has formed in a person's thinking apart from their GPS, apart from the Word of God. And when I've listened to some of these people and some of the reasonings they come up with, right away you think, what Bible have they been reading? Then I find out they hadn't been reading the Bible at all. It was just something they heard in Sunday school. And one day this voice come to them and said, this is really what it is. And they didn't even use the Word of God and just adapted into the reasoning of it. That is not a seducing spirit, people. That reasoning is not a seducing spirit. A seducing spirit is when somebody will take the Word of God and misuse it, twist it, or pervert it to mislead you or lead you off track of what it's really saying. But this reasoning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this reasoning is outside the Bible. Because this reasoning, if you go and look into the Word of God, you won't find it there. How many of you heard somebody give you a reasoning and you go, where is that in the Word? Right. It's because that reasoning was developed apart from the Scripture. And one brother, I told him one time what he was saying. I said, show me in the Word of God where it quotes that. You know what he told me? He said, well, it's there. You just have to see it. No, show me. I'm willing to say I'm wrong. Show me it. And he couldn't. And I said, well, then it's a reasoning outside the Word of God. If you're gonna give me a reason, you better make sure your reason came out of the Bible. And then if it's a seducing spirit, I can tell right away whether I'm being seduced or not. I just gotta go to the Word of God where he said go to the Word of God and says where it says it. And I go to the Word and I look at it and it's not there. You know what? You know what's happening now? There are actual ministers teaching the body of Christ that it's scriptural to cast demons out of believers. Is that true? Is that true, people? If that's true, show me in the Bible where it says that you cast a demon out of a believer. Show me in your Bible. You see, I'm using this for teaching illustration. You got to be careful what you put your ear to. You see, wrong kind of reasoning. Now somebody said, well, can a Christian have a demon? I like what Kenneth Hagin said. If you're going to blame a Christian for having a devil, you better make sure you're using the right terminology by your meaning. Because believers can have company. But it's not in their spirit. It's in the brain. That's why Paul says our warfare, you have to be careful that your warfare is not something that's outside the Word of God. Because if that's the case, then there's no way for you to take that reasoning and subject it to the Word of God. Are you following me? You can't take that reasoning and make it fit to the Word of God. Now somebody said, well, then it's a seducing spirit. This guy here that Paul's talking about himself, he says, I'm not seducing you. I have the ability to take control of that reasoning and get it under subjection to the Word of God. The reason that things are going the way they're going, in a nutshell, is that not only the unbeliever, but the believer as well, they're losing their mind. And God doesn't want anyone to get into that place. Boy, it's quiet here. Can we start all over again and X you out, Pastor? Casting down arguments. What kind of arguments? The kind where people will sit and argue with you that tongues were done away with. And that's not even in the Scripture. I had somebody tell me that. No, it died with the last apostle. You're a liar. Because there's no teaching in the Bible that said that tongues were done away with the last apostle. Show me in the Scripture. That's a reasoning. You got to get your Bible and get it out and read it. I'm going to tell you, you're finding more and more believers a product of hand-me-down information rather than what they've actually read out of the Word of God and ate it for themselves. Well, I'd say we'd continue next week, but Dean's going to be here. So I want you to hold this thought, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, because we're going to get more into the productivity of the mind. And John, it would be good if you got into Sunday school. John covered some wonderful things here. The hang-up we had was the reasoning versus the seduction, the seducing. And there is a difference between the two. But I'm going to tell you something. Nobody can help anybody until they understand how they can yield to the Spirit to bring somebody into the kingdom of God. The only way that you can win a soul to the kingdom of God is your witness. Did you know that? It's your witness. It's how you conduct yourself before men. And it is important how you conduct yourself before men. Did you know that? Do you know what will turn somebody on to the things of the Lord? Somebody that's turned on to the Lord. You know what will make somebody distance themselves from God? Somebody that just don't really care about whether they're close to God or not. You'll affect somebody else. It's like a cancer. You got to be on fire. If you get on fire, you'll catch somebody else to be on fire. We'll stop there. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. 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 Say this with me. Devil, you cannot have my mind. It belongs to God. It belongs to the Almighty God. He has a right to take Scripture and write it upon the tablets, my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't take the wrong thought. Don't take it. Bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. What kind of a reasoning that speaks against the knowledge of God? Take that captive and bring it down. by the Word of God. Don't let people say things to you that is nothing but a reasoning without first confirmation of the Word of God behind it. That's the best thing I can tell you without going into detail. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll find that the works of the flesh are not, a demon spirit is not behind the works of the flesh. You're behind the works of the flesh. But a demon will occupy that place if you give your flesh to him. We can't do that. Amen. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God this morning. And as we begin to close this service, if there's anybody here that has never received you as Savior, Father, we would love to bring them into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. To escape the corruption that is in this world. And Father, if there's anybody here that has never been filled with the Spirit of God, then Father, I pray that they receive the fullness of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And if there's anybody here struggling with healing, Father, I pray that they make a decision within themselves this morning to deal with issues that are found in their body. Hallelujah. With that said, if that fits you, step out and come down here. Anybody? Hallelujah. Salvation. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Or physical healing. Hallelujah. Well, David, I know it's healing, right? Praise God. Anybody else? Feel free to come down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is it physical healing? It's okay. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. You've been having problems with your ear, one ear. Who is that? Oh, is that you? Sorry, I picked it up there. Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's somebody here that I'm seeing kind of a blood disorder where medication is not doing what it's supposed to do with your blood. I don't know if that's high blood pressure or something, but it has something to do with the blood, and you know about it because your doctor lets you know about it. Who is that? Having a blood condition that needs you need healing in that area. It's going to require a healing from God. It's a blood condition. I don't know whether it's high blood pressure or whatever it is, but you need to come down here. Hallelujah. Also, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, now, one other thing, that migraines. Who's been having migraines? Who is that? Who is that? Well, I think I got it under control. Come on up here. If you've been having migraines, headaches. Hallelujah. Is that you, Aaron? Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, when God calls these conditions out, it means He's going to heal them. Praise God. Amen. All we have to do is get ready to receive it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, reshikele han roba de snack de orbet genda parashanda. Okay. Hallelujah. Who is struggling with fear? Come here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ho ho re she. Hallelujah. You know what? Fear is the enemy. He'll come against you in fear. We can remove him today. You'll be fear free. But I can't pray for the removal of the enemy to try and influence you to fear again. You follow what I'm saying? You want some of that too. Some fear. Oh, right. You want some of that freedom from that fear. Okay. When I get through praying with all three of you, when you leave, you say, I don't have to put up with you any longer. You know, they have a singer out now. His name is, Waltz William or Zach William. Or Zach William. There's a song out. I'm no longer a slave to fear. You had to get that song and play it over and over again. I mean, I got to playing that in my car one day, and I got dangerous for traffic, man. I tell you, I get to praising God, you know. But we're not a slave to fear. You know, it doesn't mean that everything we do is right, but he uses that, those little mistakes we make or little choices that he uses that as an advantage to bring fear on us. We don't have to put up with that stuff. That business is between us and God, not him. He has no business being a part of it. Amen? Dirty, rotten rat. You know, hallelujah. Praise God. 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 Praise the Lord, people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. We don't have to put up with, hallelujah. Praise God. We don't have to put up with sickness and disease. Hallelujah. Praise God. We don't have to. We don't have to. Praise God. 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 We can run out of this sickness and disease. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, right now, start praying with me, and then I'll let you go. Father, right now, you can't go until you've done your job. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, as we go along and lay hands on these precious ones, they're going to get what they desire. They're going to get what they've come forward for. Hallelujah. Father, we are victorious in the name of Jesus. Fear, I command you to remove yourself from these three people. You spirit, you can no longer put fear on them. They are in their right mind. They have a right to their own choices. And you will not drive them into fear in Jesus' name. You will not drive them into fear. Hallelujah. You're a liar, devil. You are a liar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, are you guys going to have a good afternoon? You guys better have a good afternoon. And remember, those of you that had prayer for fear, remember, laugh at the devil. Laugh at him. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. Get that song about fear. You're a liar, fear. You're a liar. God bless you.